Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. There are some people whose writings I find so smart and spot on that I often find myself thinking, I wish I had written that. Steve McKee is one of those people. Steve writes a regular column for businessweek.com, which I always enjoy, and his first book, When Growth Stalls, was a terrific manual on how businesses get stuck and how they can get unstuck. Now he's written Power Branding, Leveraging the Success of the World's Best Brands. And so I've invited him to talk with me today about his new book. So welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Mutual admiration. I feel the same way about you.
Thanks. So your book, Power Branding, is organized around six questions that should be asked and answered in order to develop an effective branding program. So tell us what those questions are and why their order is important.
Yeah, well, everybody will be familiar with the questions because they've been nicknamed the Journalist Six, which is the who, what, when, where, why, and how of any kind of event. And in a journalism context, of course, a newspaper story or a television story, it doesn't really matter in what order they're asked and answered. You just want to kind of get the whole story. But when it comes to branding, it's really important that you put them in a specific order, and that order is why, who, what, how, and then where and when. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's so important is because, you can spend a lot of money on branding, and companies do invest a great deal of time, resources of all kinds, time and money. And if you haven't answered the why question first, you could easily go down the wrong road. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk these days, and Simon Sinek has his book Start with the Why, and it's just always been true. Why are we doing this? You know, what are the objectives that we're trying to accomplish? What do we hope for down the road? And once that's in place, then you can begin getting into the other key questions. And the second question, which in my mind is always the most pivotal, is who. To whom are our branding efforts targeted? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of examples out there of companies who focus really, really well on a narrow target audience and have famous brands as a result, as opposed to trying to be all things to all people and then not getting there. Mm-hmm. And from the who, you move into the what is it that we're trying to accomplish? Then you move into the how, which kind of gets into the creativity and how we're going to express the idea. And then the where and when is the tactical plan of, what mix of all the things out there are we going to put together and combine in order to be able to deliver this message? So why, who, what, how, where, when. And that's the way the book is organized.
And that's a great framework, so thanks for explaining that. I wanted to ask you about a couple of the brands that you mentioned in your book, and the first one is Zappos. So in the section of your book on who, you talk about Zappos and their target audience of happy hunters. So tell us about that and what we can learn from Zappos' approach.
Yeah, well, Zappos, happy hunters is not my term, it's theirs, for their key clientele. And when, the company started very quickly, it grew very fast. It's got a really notable brand. They've done a lot of things right. But it's in a really competitive category. Mm-hmm. Retail and, fashion retail, shoe retailing, and people aren't going to give up their customers. Their competitors aren't going to give up their customers lightly. So Zappos had to figure out how to grow from here. And they did something really smart. They had about 1 million people in their database who had ordered shoes before, and they figured, look, if we really want to capture and bottle and expand our brand, we got to go to those who get it the best and understand why they get it. And that's their core customers. And so they did a study of their database, and they ended up identifying their key customer, which they call happy hunters. And they're people who, they share similar age and income and demographic characteristics, but they value time more than money. They like shopping online. They sort of enjoy the process of hunting and pecking for shoes. And their internal calculation suggested there were 7 million more of them out there than they had already reached. And that's just really smart, and it underscores a power branding principle, which is if you're in business and you're making a profit, you're doing something right for somebody. In other words, somebody loves you.
Hmm.
So the key is to figure out who that is, why they love you, and then go find more of them. And there are always more of them out there.
Right.
So every brand can find its own version of its happy hunters.
Mm-hmm. And what struck me about the strategy is that, as you said, that they had some demographic and purchase behaviors in common, but it was also their attitudes, for example, of valuing the service. And so I think it's really resonates with me in terms of finding that target audience. It's really a mindset or an attitude.
It's almost always related to attitudes and perceptions. You know, I'm often saying that demographics don't drive behavior. They tend to correlate with behavior. But behavior is driven by, a whole complex set of attitudes and perceptions and wants and needs. And that's the trick, for any brand to figure out what it is what needs they're meeting in people's minds.
Right. Now, the other brand that I wanted to ask you about was JCPenney, and I was interested in your point of view on JCPenney and the advertising that was commissioned, after Ron Johnson was ousted and the company brought back former CEO Mike Ullman to turn things around. You talked about this concept of marketing to the mirrors, and I wanted you to explain that and the problem that arises from it.
Yeah, well, in general, marketing to the mirror is the idea that we tend to project onto others our own thoughts and perceptions, and that's particularly dangerous when we are in charge of a branding budget because, by definition, we're not the target. You know, we like the brand, we're very engaged with the brand, we want to see the brand prosper, whereas our target audience might not feel the same way, certainly not to the same level. And so what Penny did when Ron Johnson left was immediately go back to their customer base, and what I cite in the book is that they actually ran a television commercial, that sort of apologized for the last year and asked people to come back. And I thought that was a little too introspective and perhaps a little morbid, because most people aren't paying that close attention. They combined the TV spot with a doorbuster sale, which is probably all they needed to do to get their old customers back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a little bit too much for me, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Great example of marketing to the mirror.
Right, just talking to ourselves at times. And the last thing I want to ask you about is in several places in your book, Power Branding, you talk about discounting. And I love it because at one point you say, quote, it's distracting, demeaning, destructive, and depressing. So, Steve, tell us how you really feel about discounting and why.
Well, in my own defense, I think that phrase is in a chapter where I say, it's okay to discount occasionally. I sort of give in to that. If I had my way, we would never discount.
Mm.
I think in that chapter I explain how you can be strategic in your discounting. But it's too easy for companies to resort to that. You know, there's this thing called the price-value equation. And we always focus on the price part of it instead of on the value part of it.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few brands who really focus on enhancing value, which means keep your price the same, or in fact, even raise your prices, which we often counsel clients to do, because price is not just an indicator of quality. I'm sorry, it's not just a reflection of quality. It's an indicator of it.
Mm-hmm.
We as consumers take our cues from prices that are in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're discounting your product, why would you expect anybody to pay full price if you don't believe in it enough? That's why I just don't like it.
Right. I always talk about how when people buy bottles of wine, the way that they pick the bottle, once they figure out kind of what kind of wine they want, is only by price, because that's their primary way of determining the quality of the product. And I think that applies across lots of different categories. So I definitely hear what you're saying about the risks of discounting, because you are just setting people up for a perception about your brand.
Yeah, there was even a study I think Cornell University did where they randomly mixed wines and assigned different prices to them, and they found that people actually enjoyed the taste, not only chose, but enjoyed the taste of wines that they perceived were more expensive, whether they were really more expensive or not. It's who we are. We can't, as consumers, we don't have perfect information, so we have to make shortcuts based on assumptions. And if product X is 20% more expensive than product Y, there's probably a reason.
Yes.
That's how we figure.
Right.
And so unless we're extremely price sensitive in that particular category, we may go with a higher priced product for sure.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for joining me today and sharing about Power Branding. And for my listeners,
sure.
I want you to know that you can check out the book at the site powerbrandingbook.com. I also encourage you to connect with Steve through his Twitter handle. It's Steve McKee. That's S-T-E-V-E-M-C-K-E-E. And also learn about his integrated marketing agency, McKee Woolwork & Company, at McKeeWoolwork.com. Thanks again, Steve, and best wishes on your book.
Thank you. Likewise with yours.
Talk to you soon.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at DeniseLeeYan.com. Take care and thanks again.